This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we'll be talking about students and teachers. Are they ready for school? But right now, we have a Black History note from our co-worker, Mr. Coleman. How you doing, Mr. Coleman?
I'm good, Jenny White. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. Well, happy Black History Month.
Thank you, and to you as well.
Thank you very much. Well, what I'd like to say regarding Black History Month, my contribution will be just giving some interesting Black history facts that you likely didn't know. Let's see. Although the first celebration of Black History Month started in 1970, there was still much to learn about the achievements and contributions of Black Americans. So I'm going to share some facts that some people may not have known. And one was regarding Claudette Colvin. Everyone knows the story of Rosa Parks and her brave stand or sit on that Alabama bus, but Parks wasn't the first to do so. On
right.
March 2nd, 1955, a 16-year-old Charlotte Colvin was riding home from school when the city bus driver told her to give up her seat to a white passenger. She refused, saying it was her constitutional right to sit there as much as it was the white lady. She paid her fare, and it was her constitutional right. Colvin felt compelled to stand her ground, and she said that she felt like Sojourner Truth was pushing down on one shoulder and Harriet Tubman was pushing her down on the other, saying, "Sit down, girl." She was glued to her seat. According to biography.com, the NAACP briefly considered using Colvin's case to challenge the segregation laws, but it decided against it because not only of her age, which I think was an excuse, but the fact that she was pregnant by an older man. For that particular fight, they wanted someone that had a squeaky, clean image beyond reproach. And so there you have Rosa Parks. Another interesting fact that I had just learned, I wasn't aware of, was Maya Angelou, the poet and writer. But did you know that in 1944, she became the first female Black cable car conductor in San Francisco?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. It said after weeks of trying to get an interview for the job, Angelou wrote, one day she was tirelessly, like all the others before it, sat in a railway office waiting to be interviewed. The receptionist called her to the desk with a bundle of papers. They were a job applications form that she had to fill out in triplicate. She had a little time to wonder if she had won or not. Then the questions reminded her of necessity for dictionary. Mysterious lying. How old was I? List my previous job, starting from the last held, and go backwards to the first. How much money did I earn? And why did I leave the position? Give two references, not relatives. So she said, sitting at a side table, her mind, sitting at a side table, in her mind, she wove a cat's ladder of near truths and total lies. So she kept her face blank, which was an old art, and wrote quickly the fable of Marguerite Johnson, age 19, former companion and driver for Ms. Annie Henderson, a white lady in Stamps, Arkansas. She was given blood tests, aptitude tests, physical coordination tests, and on a blissful day, she was hired as the first Negro on the San Francisco streetcars. Maya Angelou.
Well, good for her. I did not know that. That is so cute.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was a good one. And I'll read one more. I'll do Annie Turnbow Malone was one of the country's first black millionaires. She started Poro Company, P-O-R-O, which made hair and beauty products for the black community. She hired the young Sarah Breedlove as one of her door-to-door sales agents. Ms. Breedlove, better known as Madam C.J. Walker,
right,
invented a line of African-American hair products, suffering from a scalp ailment of her own that resulted in her own hair loss. So those are just some of the black history facts, little known black history facts that I wanted to share today.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. The one I like the most, and it's not anything new, this is about Henry Box Brown. I still find that so just amazing that he was married. And he had children, and his master sold them even after telling him that he wouldn't do it. So he wanted to escape. You know, he didn't ever see his kids again or whatever, or his wife. So what he did, he got in a box. He had some friends. And he got in the box, and it says that the box was 3 by 2.67 by 2 feet. Now, he's not a large or tall person. It was very small. The box was lined with coarse woolen cloth and some baize, and I'm not sure about that one. And he carried a small portion of water and a few biscuits. There was a single hole cut out for air, and it was nailed and tied with straps. He later wrote that his uncertain method of travel was worth the risk. If you hadn't never been deprived of your liberty as I was, you cannot realize the power of that hope of freedom, which was to me indeed an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. And during the trip, which began on March 29, 1849, his box was transported by wagon, railroad, steamboat, wagon again, railroad, ferry, and railroad, and finally delivery wagon, being completed in 27 hours. And despite the instructions on the box of handle with care and this side up, several times carriers placed the box upside down or handled it roughly, Brown remained still and avoided detection. The box was received by Williamson McKim and other members of the Philadelphia Vigilance Committee on March the 30th, 1849, attesting to the improvements in express delivery services. When Brown was released, one of the men remembered his first words as, "How do you do, gentlemen?" He sang a psalm from the Bible, which he had earlier chosen to celebrate his release from freedom. So that just interests me every time I think about Henry Box Brown. Now, you talking about bravery and getting in a box and traveling all the way to get his freedom.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do when your life depends on it.
Yeah, that's it just fascinates me that he did that. How many people would do that? Even with the other one. There was another one too. Not another one in a box. But I mean, you know, there were a lot of slaves that wanted to leave and didn't. I mean, you know, Harriet Tubman had to kind of threaten some folks. So, you know, you can't go back. You're not going to go back and tell everybody where I am. So she didn't have anybody that went back, which was good for her. So,
yeah, she said she could have freed more slaves if they only knew they were slaves.
Yeah, that's, you know, sometimes I still think that a lot of people feel like they're enslaved. I really do. And they just don't know how to get out of it. They really
some
don't.
Some people are comfortable being with free housing and free food and getting beat on occasion. You know, some people are just comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, some people after the Emancipation Proclamation went back to the plantations.
Yeah,
they didn't have anywhere else to go. So
didn't wear. Well, I mean, you know, think about it today. It's kind of hard today. A lot of people are losing their homes, and they don't have any places to go. And people are doing a lot of stuff because of the pandemic. I'm thinking, though, it's not something that they, well, I don't know. I don't think it's something that they would not have done had it not been COVID-19. I don't know. But if they're doing it now, yeah, I don't know. They may just want to do a lot of things. Every time I turn around, somebody's telling me they got scammed. And seemingly every time I see Amazon come up, they're sending me $6,000 TVs that I never ordered. And at first I was upset, but now that I know it's a scam, I just laugh at it and, you know, dismiss it. Exit
well,
out.
They had you going. They had you going at one point.
I know, because it was the first time it had happened to me and I couldn't understand. They're telling me they're going to send me a $6,000 television that I never ordered. I mean, you know, well, it did kind of jerk me for a second, but thank God to my son. I have a son that looks out for his mama. And he told me what to do. So I really appreciate my kid.
Well, that's good. You have a good son.
I do. Hey. And I'm glad about it, because it could be a different direction. And now we're going to stop and take a commercial, and then we're going to talk our people. And if they want to have something to say about Black history or whatever, then we'll talk about that. So,
all right.
We'll take a break. And this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it.
Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Yes.
Are we back on, Jenny White?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry. There was a hesitation in the advertisement. But we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we're talking about, are the students and the teachers ready for school? Probably the parents are not sure. But at any rate, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday released guidelines for schools that focus on 5 key COVID-19 mitigation strategies. The universal and correct wearing of masks was number 1. Number 2 was physical distancing. 3 is washing your hands. 4 is cleaning facilities and improving ventilation. And 5 is contact tracing, isolation, and quarantine. And contact tracing is the measure, the impact to your employees should someone be impacted by COVID-19. So vaccines and testing are not among the key strategies the agency lays out, calling them additional layers of COVID-19 prevention. But the new recommendations come amid a national debate about when and how to reopen the schools, even as fear of spreading the coronavirus continues and a push for prioritizing teachers for vaccination grows. So what do you guys think? Is it time? Well, if you have children, young children, I'm sure you would possibly say yes, because if you're a parent and you're working, you might have been able to stay home and work from home. And maybe not. I don't know. Everybody can't work from home. Or maybe you got laid off. I know a lot of people have been laid off. And now you're home with your child. And another thing is, if you're home with your child, do you know how to help your child with the work? Do you have computers and your technology? You know, do you have that? Do you know how to do it? I mean, a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't. And one important thing is that a lot of students are being raised by grandparents, and that could be a hard, you know, fish to catch. Because if you're trying to get grandma, do you have the internet? You know, it's more than a nation, a notion. It's more than a nation, too. But it's more than a notion for grandma to try to fix you up. Now, I know there have been some churches that have given students computers, which is really good, but it's not good if you don't have the kinds of hookup that you need to get the computer going. And then you got to learn how to work it. And the teachers, they can't tell you how to work it because they're not with you. But some people are doing their teaching virtually, and it's working. But a lot of the parents that I have heard from are saying that if they're doing the Zoom, they don't want people seeing in their home. You know, well, my kid is in his room and he didn't make up his bed today, and then he got clothes and toys all over the floor. So that's one of the things that the parents have been complaining about. So it's, you know, it's more than one thing that is bothering this virtual learning, because, I mean, a lot of older people don't understand the Zoom, you know, what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. I know one year. What year is this? 21? It had to be, I guess. No, it wasn't 20. Maybe 19. My grandson was here, and he had to do his work virtually. And it was really interesting because he went to some place I didn't even know where he had to go. But, you know, as minutes went on, of course, we worked it out. But there are some things that, you know, I can't just say it's other parents. There's some things that I don't know anything about. So, you know, it was different. But from what I understand, the teachers are doing fine. They are not ready to go. And the CDC says, hey, it's time to move. It's time to move. The kids are upset because they can't, you know, see their friends, and other than looking at them on the computer, if they, you know, able to do that. And then let's face it, some students have lost an entire year of learning because of different situations. Maybe your parent or your guardian or whatever is not helping you, or they don't know, or they don't care. I mean, you do it if you want to, figure it out yourself or whatever. Okay, I have a caller. And hi, caller. How you doing?
Okay, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to just make a statement too about. I work with a lot of parents who have deaf and hard of hearing kids, and a lot of our deaf and hard of hearing kids are going to be behind because if they were going through the regular the public school system. If the interpreters don't show up, and even if they do on Zoom, it's real interesting. I mean, you really have to know how to work Zoom so that the interpreter is up front all the time, and they're in a different spot. And I've been hearing some of our parents saying interpreters were not on the line. So you got deaf kids who can't hear you, so what's the point? I know that a lot of the schools, in the city, some of them got these little, I guess they're like iPads or something. I forgot what they're called, Chromebooks.
Right.
And so they weren't working well, and they were refurbished. So, you know, if they don't work, you have to go and go to the school or some location and turn it in and get another one. And parents who don't have transportation, that becomes an issue. Trying to get that thing and forth. It has been somewhat of a nightmare. A lot of our deaf kids are just going to be a year behind, and that means they're going to stay in school an extra year. On the flip side of that, a lot of our kids with disabilities do stay in until they're 26, but that doesn't mean they have to if they're up to grade. And so it has caused a lot of challenges, and the internet is an issue. I mean, I work at home, and sometimes I have internet, but everything in my house is Bluetooth. That can cause an overload when I'm doing this all day, you know, and I have other things that I'm doing too. I know a lot of the colleges are doing hybrid classes or online classes. My daughter is in D.C., and her class is, even though she's in the dorm, they're not going in the classroom. They're Zooming from that. The advantage that she has with being deaf is that she's at a deaf college, so everybody who, all of her teachers either sign fluently or they're deaf, and so they sign anyway. And so that's a plus for her. That's why she chose to do that rather than stay here. But it becomes an issue, and I just started teaching for the community college, and I have a hybrid class. So we got to be in there some days, and then some days we're using Zoom. So it's a challenge all the way around. But I really feel for parents who have little kids. I'm just glad mine is an adult because I don't know. That's a lot.
Yeah. But, you know, think about grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And we do have, and on top of that, we have kids who are deaf who are being raised by their grandparents or parents who don't sign. So the parents can't really help them that much. They don't sign enough to be able to help them, you know, and that creates an issue as well. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it can be a situation, but I think, personally, I think the kids are ready to go back, but the teachers, I don't think they're ready. And then you have the CDC. They want you to go, but a lot of the teachers have not been vaccinated. I don't know what they're doing now. I don't know if they're still scheduling.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
my mother went first shot last week. Yeah.
But then there are people that are going to Mississippi. One lady said she took her mother to Mississippi. Someone told her to go down because they couldn't get a spot here. Someone told her to go to Mississippi. She drove to Mississippi. She got in line. She said they did not ask her for ID or anything. She got the shot, and then her mother got the shot. or her mother, and then she, I'm not sure how it went, but what I'm saying is that they were both vaccinated in Mississippi. Now,
well, I guess I have a question about that, because if this, right now I think the shots, you have to get the second shot. They're going to drive that down to Mississippi?
That was my next point that I was going to make. I have no idea. Or maybe they could tell. I'm sure they give you a card or something letting people know that you got your first one or whatever. I don't know. It seems like it's not coordinated very well. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I think, too, what we have to have had to deal with, if the transition had been smooth, I think it would have been smoother. But when you have to step in when everything is a mess and try to figure it out while you're doing it, it makes it a little complicated.
Yeah, and then you run out of what you need. Then you have to switch over to the other one. If you get Pfizer number one, I don't think you can take Moderna number two.
I don't know. I
think you have to stick with what you do initially. And how do you know they're not giving you the same thing? You know, if you got number one, do they know? I don't know. Let me stop.
Two is the same shot. It's the level of the shot that they're giving you. It's the same shot.
I know.
It's, you know.
It has
so
different, yeah, but. You know, how do they know?
Moderna, Pfizer, it might be different between the two companies. That could be a problem. Yeah, I could see that. But at this time, at this point, you know, I don't fall in any of the categories to be able to get the shot now anyway.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. Some people, I don't know if the teachers have come up yet. I don't know.
They have. And I think they're considered first responders, like the nurses, from what I understood. And so I think that they can, as teachers, do it because of the going back to school. So that might be part of it. But then, you know, we have a lot of people who say they're not getting the shot either.
That's true. That's true. They don't, they don't trust it. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how this is going to work. And plus the strains are changing all the time.
Yeah,
Bill Gates said by the summertime, there's going to be so many strains out here. You better get your back. You better get vaccinated, or you gonna die.
You know, there's been some weird things going around about these vaccinations and about what people think. Like I heard one lady, I just had to shut down. I had to shut it down and stop because I thought I was on another planet. She was like, "Well, you know that when they shoot you up, they're shooting something and they can track you." I'm like, "If you don't stop."
Well, I've heard that too. Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Well, here's why it's ridiculous. They can track you without shooting you up with something.
You're right about that.
I mean, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, they don't shoot you up to track you down.
They already know where you are. They got your phone.
How many people got Alexa in the house? How many people got Alexa in the house? Honey, I'm about to go to the mall. I'll be back.
Yeah, no kidding. And to make matters worse, I guess a lot of people never heard of Google Earth. Trust me, they can track you.
They can find you.
Okay, so all of that is
ridiculous. Unless you're black, then they can't find you. All these missing black girls, they can't find none of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's unfortunate. They can't find these kids' parents either. So
yeah.
The kids in the cages, but I'm not going there.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know if we'll ever be out, you know. It's the fact about staying home all the time. I mean, golly, I'm going to have a pajama party. Because
we ought to have big collections of pajamas. We could have a pajama fashion show. I'm sure people have come up with some
idea. Yeah, I'm having, because I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and she said she had done nothing but buy new PJs. And I said, you know, I bought a couple myself. Walking around the house with my PJs all day, so let's have a party.
I work at home, it was for most of the days of the week. At first, I don't know what it was. I think it's just habit. I would get up, you know, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you take your shower, wash up, whatever. And so these last 2 weeks, I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody can see me because we do it on Teams. We don't even do the Zoom. So this last week, I brush my teeth and wash my face, but them PJs stay on until after all the meetings are over, unless I have to go out the house. They just stay.
Welcome to my world. Yeah. So we'll be doing a PJ fashion show. Oh, yeah. Sounds like a plan. Way in the future.
Well, you know, I've been out here and, you know, go to some of these in my occupation. You know, I'll go to, I had a luncheon at a doctor's office yesterday, large cardiology practice, lunch for 30 people. And, you know, I was surprised with the number of people walking around with no face mask on.
Are you kidding?
I'm talking about
wow.
Employees.
Doctor's
I mean,
office?
You know, yeah, in the doctor's office. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, they come to work every day and they're so comfortable with their fellow employees. Now, when they had to go get patients or something, you know, they threw them on or, you know, they come back through, you know, they had a face covered. But, you know, I've gone to nursing homes, you know, and seen some of the employees with no mask on. I'm like, you know, are you serious? And so I had to make sure I step back, you know, keep my
keep my 12
feet, you know, is it 12 feet? I'm like, if you
say so.
Yeah, if you ain't wearing a mask,
it's 12. I know that's right.
It's 12 feet. I mean, you don't know.
Man.
I don't know you like that.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, so.
I don't know why people do that.
A lot of these people just comfortable, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say they get comfortable. Because there's a few people in my job that they get comfortable. We have to wear them. But. Like, I'm in a room by myself. They gave me a whole big conference room by myself with a door and everything. And only one person is allowed in at a time. And so when they come to the door, they knock, and I pull up my mask. But rather sit there all day with it on like that. When I've gone back in the lab, I've seen a couple of guys, and all they have are, like, cubes in the lab that they're working on. And one guy, he's gotten to the point where he don't keep their mask on in the thing. He doesn't. And the way he had it on beforehand, I told him, I said, you is wasting your time with the mask. He pulled the string all out, and it's clipped to the top of his glasses in the middle so that it makes a tint. I'm like, well, anything coming out of you is still going to... Yeah, that's just stupid.
Okay,
like,
right.
Especially,
you know,
since now they're telling you that they want you to wear two. One is not enough.
Yeah, I was double masked up yesterday, you know, like, hey.
Yeah, that's what they say now, you know, people don't want to wear one. How in the heck you going to get them to wear two? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, after these shots, you know, maybe we can get some herd immunity going on, and you know.
And that might be a problem, because if they take the shot, they might say, okay, I can't get it now, so I'm really taking this mask off. So I don't know. you know, strange people are strange.
But
we have another.
I
know that's right. We have another listener. Okay, listener, hi. You're on the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
And how's everybody this evening?
Everybody's
How's everyone this evening?
How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
Just beautiful. I've been listening to the conversations thus far, and I wanted to point out something. I know they're saying that we have a very high suicide rate among our young people, even more now that because they're at home because of this pandemic. And it's in the younger people, you know, because they are used to having some type of socialization and sitting home and trying to do this and trying to do that, that we have a high suicide rate. And I was concerned about that. And, you know, the fact that we're trying to teach what I gather from my cousin who's working with her grandchildren, they're trying to teach a new math, a different way of teaching math that ties you into right into algebra and things of that nature. And it's hard to really grab hold of that, you know. And she was telling me that. And they don't understand, you know. Another thing I wanted to point out was that what do you do with the blind? People who are blind, what are they doing?
That's a good question. Well, they're doing it in Braille.
I understand that. No Braille. That's a big issue there. And I was like, especially for our children, aren't they catching on to the one, you know, some can or some can't, you know. And I thought you brought up a very good point. The grandparents are raising these kids. And they don't know. They don't really know. Just what how to handle it. And then to bring someone in from the outside to tutor, then you have to worry about, is this person a carrier working with the child, your children, if you could do that, you know. Just a lot of things we're faced with within our community. With those computers, was supposedly Comcast was supposed to be giving internet service. That was supposed to be a paid thing, but it was hard to contact the Comcast. You had to have your own internet service in the house and all that. What people have found, keep going on and on. What I suggest, and no, but it is, like you say, the teachers are afraid because of for themselves. They're afraid for their families also. But I was thinking of at least giving the kids at least one day a week to go to school. And maybe for that week, you give them a package of what you want them to do and to try to explain it. They could bring home that package and then work on it. That's what I was thinking. One day a week.
Well,
and,
some schools
they do
have that. 1 week you're virtual, and then the other one you're in the school.
But it's
just
one
day a week.
Well, I don't
know. I take that back. I don't know if that's here in Detroit. I know they're doing that in Texas because my grandson.
Like I said,
there.
They had count. This week they had a count day, and I know that it wasn't up to par. You know what count day means? They're looking for some money.
I'm sure it wasn't.
But a lot of kids are just lost. But if you could maybe put them in school for one day a week, one day, and, you know, and then give
but
them a packet to bring home.
You can't. You have to have an instructor there, though. Someone has to be there.
That's true. The teacher, one day a week. The teacher could be there, you know, one day a week to help all this. It would help their socialization, make them look forward to something. Because a lot of times these kids just run around. You talk about having pajamas on. They run around in their shorts. And they'll put nothing on for the whole, since the pandemic started, you know, one of them deals.
Right. And the parents
you know.
Are, like I said, the parents don't want the teacher looking at her house.
No, that's
that
because they know it's a disaster area.
Right.
A disaster area. Yeah.
So then that's a situation. I have I can't say anything about that. I don't know. I don't have, you know, the answer for.
No, none of us know the answer. We're all just pulling at straws to see what we can do.
I know. And I'm so, I'm happy I'm retired at this point in time. That's all I can say. Because I wouldn't want to have.
A lot of the kids need to be tested. They need to be tested. A lot of them are hyper, You know.
What about the high school kids? And then, you know, the special ed kids, they have
special ed is,
certain
yeah.
Other things that they have to do. They have speech therapy. They have physical
yeah.
therapy. They have other, you know, things that they're supposed to do. It's in their IEPs, and they have to do it. So the teachers have to find a way with the social workers or the counselors or whatever the child has to have, you know. They have to get with them. So it's a whole thing. It's
That's
a
whole yeah.
different thing. How do you get the because they can't come into your homes, these physical
no, they
therapies.
Can't.
They can't come into your homes. So some kind of way that IEP has to be, you know,
what's
whatever.
What's an IEP?
Yeah.
yeah.
Whatever.
What's
the,
an IEP?
What's an IEP?
Individualized
Education Plan. IEP.
Okay.
With
mm-hmm.
special needs. Special kids. You know, so if they have to have any other services, they have to have them. Speech services, hearing services, a lot of things they have to have. And
mm-hmm.
those people that do it have to make a way. It's, this whole thing is crazy, but it's not anybody's, well, it may be somebody's fault, because they say this is a man-made pandemic. You know, the coronavirus was man-made. Well, they have messed the entire globe up. So some people want to run to Mars. They can go. Let them go. Bye. Because I'm not going up there.
It's a lot. It's not a lot, yeah.
It is. It really is. And you got to turn yourself up and down. And I know some of the people that had retired are going back, and they gave them a specific time that they could work. And now, because of the fact that they're losing teachers, they are losing teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're allowing the retirees to stay on longer. Because I think it was like 3 years, and then when you get ready to leave, they said, well, you know, you can stay another 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's bad. And like you were saying, count day, I'm sure the kids
oh,
weren't
yeah.
there. Matter of fact, I know they weren't there. So how you going to have a count day? I don't know.
It's something to think about. It's our kids. Go ahead. They've been getting already.
Well, they're trying to, you know, continue with the dates, you know, with certain things like business as usual. I mean, just like the basketball, the NBA is, you know, still planning on having an all-star game, even though they had a short season and it just ended. You know, they, you know, trying to have this all-star game, and, you know, some of the players are against it. So, you know, I guess they've got certain dates on the calendar that they need to have things done, so they're trying to stick with it as, you know, ineffective or inefficient or inaccurate as it may be. You know, you just have to make modifications as you go.
Well, that goes along with the sports that the kids do, and the parents are, and the kids are all up in arms because they haven't been able to play their sports, the wrestling, the basketball, the track, or whatever it is, you know. They want to get out there and do all these touchy-feely things, you know, and the parents are going
yeah,
along with it. So.
Well, some kids, that's how they, you know, that's how they plan on paying for college. And then some, if they have, you know, professional sport aspirations, You know, they need to create a body of work. And so, you know, if they're not able to play, then, you know, especially their senior year, you feel a little disadvantaged.
Well, they're not taking tests either. ACTs.
I think a lot of schools, even Harvard, is letting you in without those standardized tests that this,
right.
at least for this year. Yeah, at least for this year.
You know, it's really interesting. This and I don't even remember his name. This black man that came and spoke at one of the students' colleges and said he would pay all of their debt.
Yeah,
Robert
Smith. I remember that,
yeah, Robert Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, he's creating
wonderful.
Another program to help pay for college students' student loan debt in HBCUs.
Well, I wish he had been around when I was in school.
Well,
I don't even know.
He ain't been around. He's around now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I would love to be able to do that. I would love.
Well, you know, it's about affecting generational wealth and changing the station of a class of people, you know, because if you get out, into the world, you know, and your first venture is getting out, and now you're $100,000 in debt when you start. You know, you're already behind. So this is a black man that's putting his money where his mouth is, you know, and he's got contacts and they're putting things together. And it's a plan, you know, for black students in HBCUs to be able to go to school and, you know, minimize their student loan debts, you know, which is a big crutch and anchor, you know, for a lot of
people.
That's
true.
So, you know,
I guess
so
that's why they
true.
Started this gap year. I had never heard of anything like that. But, oh, I'm taking a gap year. Yeah, right. So.
Well, I mean, that ain't going to help you as far as, you know, with a gap year, you're not in school, so you're not getting any credits. So that's not helping towards your, you know, graduation. I mean, a gap year is just, I guess, another year of you to mature or, you know, or maybe go travel, you know, before you start your college career.
Yeah, well.
President Obama's oldest daughter did a gap year. Malia.
I know she did. I think she's gone back now, though.
Yeah, she's in school now. I think she's at Harvard.
And Sasha's here. Yeah, she is. But Sasha's here in Michigan.
Yeah, UM.
Mm-hmm. And the girls
and
are trying
and Michigan
to...
Michigan State University. I got a Sasha at Michigan State University, so got to be specific.
I think she's U of M.
No, I'm talking about my daughter.
I'm talking about your no. I'm not. I'm talking about Sasha, the president's Sasha.
You're talking about
Sasha
Obama. I know who you're talking about. I'm just saying she ain't the only Sasha in a Michigan school. That's all. You missed all that.
I'm sorry.
Let's keep it moving.
I'm sorry. But I don't think her name is something else, isn't it? And they just call her Sasha. That's what I thought. Anyway, be that as it may, she's in school. The girls in one of the societies is trying to get her in. So she might come out of AKA Delta or something else. I'm not sure. Yep. Not sure, but anyway.
I'm just thinking. I got a great idea for next week's show, the Black History Month.
And that might be.
We could talk about the Willie Lynch letter, the making of a slave.
Mm. That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one where, okay.
Teaching how black people need to dislike the lighter ones or the darker ones.
All that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of different things in it.
But you know what the unfortunate thing about that is? That it's still going on. It's still going on. You know.
Well, you know, in the letter it said it'll go on for at least 300 years. So, you know, we can reserve a lot of that conversation for, you know, for next week. But, you know, and going back to whether or not the kids are ready to go to school. I'm on the board of directors of a charter school, and from grades kindergarten to eighth grade, and they've allowed the kids back last month, and they check their temperatures when they come in. You know, they check the teacher's temperatures as well, and so to make sure, you know, nobody's got a fever. And I think that at the time, one teacher was being quarantined because they had been exposed to somebody who had COVID. They had tested negative. And I think maybe one student had had it at one point. So, you know, so the school's been, you know, fairly successful at this point in not having it transmitted. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well.
And they say vaccines aren't mandatory for the teachers, you know, so they don't have
to. I read that they're saying that the students, well, the kids aren't necessarily getting the virus. Didn't say anything about being asymptomatic. So I don't know. I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, well.
They got so many different strands. So they're saying that the vaccine has nothing, this vaccine has nothing to do with the new strain that's coming out. I mean.
You know, they got the one from South Africa, you know, Brazil, UK, and another couple other ones. So it seems to be mutating rather quickly.
Rapidly. It's a new one. It's a new one, and you got a new one today, and then tomorrow that new one you had is something else. I mean, how are you going to keep up? And these vaccines, you can't keep up. So the first Pfizer is not going to work for the strand that's available now. I mean, that you can get now. Right. So what kind of, I don't know. I'm going back to my pajama party.
No, that's right. I'm going to sleep. Wake me when it's done. Right? Wake me when it's over.
That's right. I mean, you know, how can you keep up with it? And this woman and her mother driving all the way to Mississippi to get it? All the way to Mississippi. To get it, that boggles my mind.
Well, I guess it depends on how bad you want it. You go, you do what you got to do to get it.
Evidently, she. But
how bad you want it?
Yeah.
What it means to you? What it means to you?
And that's okay, but you know, for number two, do you have to make the long ride again?
That's it. But if they want to do it, let them do it.
Let them do it. I don't have anything to say about it one way or the other, but I just thought it was.
Yeah.
She could never get an appointment here in Michigan. Now they got Rite Aid? Maybe not Rite Aid. CVS and Walmart, and they got the pharmacies getting it now. You can go downtown to TCF and. You know, you mean to tell me you got to drive? She said they couldn't get an appointment. So she and her mother drove down. And the big thing I found interesting, they didn't ask for her ID or anything. Just gave her a shot, her and her mother. And they drove back home.
That's good.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, maybe she did, you know, they staying down there with Johnny May until it's time to get the second one. maybe they ain't coming back. They staying with Auntie Johnny May.
Oh, well.
And then after we get the second one, we go back home, Auntie Johnny.
Yeah.
Well, she said
Auntie
they
Fanny
couldn't
May.
Get an appointment. They couldn't get an appointment.
Auntie,
so this whole thing is screwed up, okay? The whole thing,
yeah, well,
and Mayor Duggan.
The whole thing is, how can we make all this, all of what we're facing, how can we make it serve our community? They have dropped a mess in our hands and in our laps. How can we make this thing serve our community?
I don't know, because a lot of people in the community aren't going to be bothered with it.
Well, they say a lot of people, you know, jumping in front
of,
you know, the people in the community that are not getting it. You know, you got a lot of people from these suburbs that you know, gladly take their shot for them.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That is true. Excuse me, Mr. Black Man. You don't want to take your shot? I'll take it. Right, these white people.
Yeah,
right.
Give you a different kind of shot.
Right. Pow, pow.
Yeah, but if he's not going to take it, he is not in line.
Yeah, but what you think about Robert Kennedy Jr. when he was saying something's wrong with the vaccine, and they jumped all over him? He was, you know, he came out and said something was wrong with it, and some of the social medias have closed his accounts and everything.
I know.
I thought that
they
was interesting.
You know, these people with these private businesses, they're taking control, and just like Trump, they say he's underwater with his things. You know, a lot of things have been taken away from him. And, well, let us hope
he
doesn't commit
own.
Suicide.
He said with his own. He said with his own.
He's doing nothing now but trying. You know, they said that when he got the coronavirus, that it was much worse than they wanted us to know. And we knew that when they came out, you know, all of the doctors at the podium telling them lies and he's good and this and that and that. They said, no, he had a bad case. And
we're dropping dead like flies. What's so super about them and how they treated him? That's the whole thing. We get the same thing. I've always questioned that. Are we getting the same thing? We went from ventilators a month later, all this. Are we getting the same thing that he got?
No.
He got some Regeneron or something, you know.
Yeah,
something else
severe
that
or something
on.
Like that, yeah.
They
said his breathing was not good at all. And when he came up there and walked up those steps and he stood on the balcony and took his mask off and all them other people that worked for him got the virus, you know, they said they sent it to him and they kept it. We don't know if they used it or if his wife used it or whatever. So but he didn't want anybody to know exactly how bad it was. So I don't know.
But then, so he presented a lie before the people.
Does that surprise you?
You know, but
why do you think
they helped
an impeachment?
Lie, okay.
Why do you think we have an impeachment trial now? Because of the lies that he's percolated.
And it cost people their lives. It cost people their lives.
Yeah,
whatever he got, we should have got too. If we broke out here, he should be broken there. Let's face it.
Well, you ain't the president.
That's another program. We're get the pipe.
You ain't the president.
She can run that.
I'm going to get on my soapbox.
But it's, they present a lie, and people have lost their lives.
Yes,
they act like
have.
That's nothing. So what?
Yes, they have. That's true.
Almost
people
half a million.
Something to somebody.
Well, just breaking
yeah.
news, the Senate has awarded the Congressional Gold Medal to Officer Eugene Goodman,
to
the black
guy,
officer.
Yes.
That,
was
yeah,
that the one
the,
that was running up the stairs and diverting the
yeah,
people because they were following him?
Yeah, they gave him the Congressional
Gold
Medal.
The part in the television where they had run into the room and locked the door, and the people, just like 2 seconds later, although the crowd was up there and one guy was trying to break the door down, he kept trying to break it, and finally he broke it in, but it was another door. And the man was in the room under the table talking on the phone. He was saying that they're right outside. They're beating on the door. These people were afraid.
They were
afraid.
You would be
afraid.
The same fear that we
yeah.
live with every single day.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
the
yeah, that, you know, they were in there taking their congressional, you know, badges off, the pen, you know, so that the insurrectionists would know that they were members of Congress. And, you know, the one congressman said that, you know, he was telling his Democratic colleagues to come over to the Republican side so they could blend in. And then, he realized that his African-American or, you know, colleagues of color couldn't blend in. So, you know, kind of wild.
Never know stuff.
Can the Ethiopian change his color? No.
Can
right. the sure he can.
No.
Sure he can.
They're working on it. They're really working on it.
Can you put Gorilla glue in your hair?
I'm going to try that.
If you're a fool, right? If you're a fool.
Well, how are they getting it out? They're getting it out of that person's hair.
Yeah, they got it.
Or it's
out.
Pulling up itself.
A black doctor for free. That was so
cool.
Oh, he
got it out.
Yes. Yes, he did. But you know what? One man didn't believe it. He said, I'm going to put some on this cup, and I'm going to put it on my mouth, and then I'm going to take it off and lick it off. He put that doggone thing in his mouth, couldn't get it off. He ended up in the hospital, too.
They probably have
now,
to
how
cut
smart
them
was that? How so? He didn't believe her.
Stupid.
How? Yes. Very much. That's the craziest mess I ever heard of. Even if you didn't believe her, why would you try it?
Yeah.
You put it on your mouth and talking about, I'm going to lick it off. Yeah, you lick it off.
He's looking
all right.
for some attention.
But the doctors told him if that did not work, his top lip would have to be cut off.
Dang.
That's
well, I
can't
feel sorry for him.
It was.
I can't
it didn't make
sorry
no sense. Whether you believed her or not, why would you try it? You're going to put it in your mouth? I could see if you said, well, you know, I'm going to try it on my hand or something like that, but he going to put it in his mouth. And he was walking around with a cup in his mouth. That makes no sense to me. But at any rate...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got
we
a birthday coming up, don't you, Jenny White?
Oh, yes. I've forgotten. Tuesday. Yay.
Go ahead.
As I'm telling you, I'm having a pajama party.
a COVID party.
Yep. Bring your favorite beverage.
You're going to
yeah.
be there by
that's
yourself.
So nice. Yeah,
and you know what? That's exactly what I want to be because I ain't letting nobody mad
your husband
no
ain't going
mad.
For that.
Yeah, that
your
would
husband,
be fun.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't guess he
yeah.
would. That
Well, yeah, a whole bunch of women ain't running him out the house.
Yeah. But, you know, at some point in time, let us hope and pray that at some point in time we will be able to live a little bit. I mean, maybe not like we were living before, but please let us be able to kind of get together with each other. You know what I'm saying? Go to the restaurant, sit around, and you can shake somebody's hand. Not like that man did in the store when the white guy was calling him a nigga and the man dropped his can and the white man kicked his can and called him a nigga again. That guy picked that can up and smacked the fool out of him in his head. And he was going to come and like fight the guy. The guy got him and put him on the floor and said, "Call me a nigga again. Call me a nigga again." When he got through wailing on that guy.
They feel like they have a right to do that. A right. That's their right. This is our
country.
But
you know what? When he got through beating him down, the guy said, hey, man, you know, we all right. Let's pray.
Well, you're going to pray before you get off the floor.
He wanted him to pray with him. I mean, that was crazy. That's the second person I done seen get beat down. These people keep telling, "Don't be calling me no nigga." Now somebody said,
"They feel like
you know,
the apostles are leadership. They feel they have a right to do that." Now the Congress is showing them they have a right. They're on their side, and that's wrong.
Well, they're showing you that Trump is right. They're not going to convict him. I don't care what the people. You know what? Listen, they know what Trump did.
Hey, that's another program.
Yeah, so right now I'm asking those who have, would like to make their parting remarks, go ahead.
For me, I'm concerned about the next generation coming up because they're really living off of us and they're vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. Well, just hold the whole attitude that was in our nation now. They are vulnerable, more so than ever before.
And more so, we're leaving them with a lot of money, too. We're leaving him in debt. We're leaving them in debt.
Their paychecks are going to be, they're going to be paying more taxes than taking home money to feed their families or whatever.
Right.
And I was looking at this movie that was talking about no place for no country for the poor. That there was in Hungary, and the people that lost their job, lost this, that. What they did was, if you stayed poor too long, they took your children away.
Mm.
They took your children away, and you know, and all they were trying to find a way to some place to stay, or something. Well, you know, and it looked like the law was just against them in every way they could. They took their children away. They made it hard for them. They couldn't have any shanties and things. They were arrested, all of this. In fact, they had to make it was no country for the poor. It was on PBS. What was happening?
Okay.
It's interesting to see this. So I'm concerned about our next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks
so
much.
I appreciate that. Maceo.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, we've got to get these kids back in school to, you know, get their get them back on track with their education. You know, minority kids are going to suffer the most, you know, just based on the lack of Wi-Fi and resources. So they definitely need to be back in school as safe as possible. And so hopefully, with these vaccinations, you know, we'll be able to slow the spread and at some point stop it and get back to, it'll never be back to life as it used to be, but back to as close as normal as possible. And happy birthday again on Tuesday. We won't talk to
tell
you
me
again.
About it, tell me about it.
Right.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And I'm going to tell you 10 things you need to give up. Number one, excuses. Number two, self-doubt. Number three, fear of failure. Number four, procrastination. Five, people-pleasing. Six, fear of success. Seven, negative thinking. Eight, negative thoughts. Self-talks. Nine is judgment of others. And 10 is negative people in your circle. Stand for right, even if it means you stand alone. So that's all I have to say, and good night. And I thank you all for being here. And have a great weekend. And this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.